So let us close our eyes for a moment and thank the Lord for this beautiful time that he has given to us. And let us ask the Lord to bless each and every one of us, to fill us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to fill us with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord enlighten each and every one of us. And especially as we are preparing ourselves for the feast of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord be with us at every moment of our life. And as he has promised that he will send his Spirit upon us, who will be with us to the end of the age. May the Lord in his graciousness, may the Lord in his goodness be our source of strength and inspiration. And we also asked Mary, our mother, to be with us at every moment of our life, especially when we go through ups and downs in life, when we face problems, difficulties. She always intercedes for us. May she stand by our side, accompanying us, helping us, guiding us, directing us, and leading all of us to her son Jesus. As she was there with the disciples in the upper room, may she be with us, accompanying us, and helping us to receive the Holy Spirit. So, my dear brothers and sisters, we all of us spend enough time for the preparation of Christmas. We have the time of Advent. 4 weeks' time, we prepare ourselves. We call it joyful time, a time of awaiting the time of Advent. And we also have the season of Lent. 40 days journey into the season of Lent. It's a journey that we take every year. It's a time of purification. It's a time of cleansing so that we can prepare for the day of resurrection, so that we can experience the Lord's resurrection in our hearts and minds. But today, on this day, we are here to reflect. How often do we prepare ourselves to celebrate this great feast, the Feast of Pentecost? It's the day the church began. And it's probably unrealistic to be in the upper room like the apostles and Mary. They were in the upper room waiting and praying. Yes, it may not be possible that way for all of us. But it's a time to remind each and every one of us of the feast of the Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit came down upon all the apostles and all the believers. And at the same time, it's also a time to realize that the Holy Spirit is always with us. Holy Spirit is always there in and around us. We only need to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to feel and experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that the Lord may send his Holy Spirit with the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, that we may be able to use them in our day-to-day life. And my dear friends, many of us are very particular about celebrating our birthdays, our anniversaries, and sometimes if you fail to wish someone close to you on their birthday or anniversary, you know sometimes the trouble that we invite by not wishing them. Today is the time to question ourselves. We give so much of importance to the celebrations when it comes to birthdays, anniversaries. But how much attention do we pay to the celebrations like Pentecost, the day we received the gifts, the charisms of the Holy Spirit, the day of our confirmation, the day we got baptized. Yes, we don't even know them. So it's a time that we need to focus our minds on heavenly things. It's a time that we set our priorities very clear so that we can bear witness to the Lord's resurrection. And the greatest need of the church, my dear friends, is not the material things of this world. Rather, it is the outpouring of the Spirit. It is the grace of the Holy Spirit, the mighty power of the Holy Spirit that we need, so that we can be competent, we can be confident, we can be fearless in articulating the God's word in the world. Yes, we need the Holy Spirit because we are nothing without the grace of the Holy Spirit. Once Mr. Newell, who had been invited to speak on the in a conference sponsored by China Inland Mission, and he asked the director to pray for him, saying, "Pray for me that I may remain humble and may consider myself nothing." And the director replied to him, "Newell, you are nothing. Take it by faith. Newell, you are nothing. Take it by faith." Yes, my dear brothers and sisters, we need also to take that as Newell was told, we also are nothing without the grace of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the grace of the Almighty. But sometimes the way we live our life, the way we go around doing things as if we are the creators of the universe, the world will not function without us. Yes, sometimes that's how we live our life. But today we need to realize that we are nothing without the grace of the Holy Spirit, without the power of the Holy Spirit. And in John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Yes, without Jesus, we are nothing. And we need to believe that whatever we are, whatever we have, it is because of God's graciousness. It is because God has been so generous to us. At the same time, you also need to pray that the Lord may pour out his Spirit upon us. May he fill us with all the necessary grace, blessing, and strength that we need, so that we may be able to do whatever the Lord wants us to, whatever the Lord has in plan for us. And in Mark 11, verses 23, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, if you have a faith like that of a mustard seed, you tell the mountain to be uprooted from here. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe, it will happen to you." Yes, that's the power of faith. That's the power of God's given grace to us. My dear brothers and sisters, do you remember the state of the apostles after the death of Jesus? They were timid, they are fearful, they are frightened. But why? Probably there are maybe two reasons. One is that they had hoped that Jesus is the Messiah. He has come for the restoration of the Davidic kingdom. But with the crucifixion of Jesus, all their hopes, dreams are shattered. Whatever they had plans, what they had dreamt of, everything maybe was crucified with the Lord on the cross. And the second one probably is that they were not loyal to their master. One of them betrayed, one of them denied, and except one, all of them ran away from the Lord. They're not there at the time of Lord's suffering. And why do you think Judas Iscariot committed suicide? He wanted money and he had received it, yet he committed suicide. It's because he went through guilt feeling. He could not accept when his conscience pricked that he had betrayed his own master. He could not forgive himself. That's where he committed suicide. Yes, the apostles were frightened after the death of Jesus. All their hopes and dreams were shattered. And they even thought of going back to their own way of life as they had lived before. And we know two apostles or two disciples walking to Emmaus, going back to their way of life. And the same apostles, same disciples who were so frightened, who were so fearful, now they're back to life. Now they're preaching boldly about the resurrection of the Lord. They're no more hiding from the authorities. What gave them power? What gave them the strength? What was that that was giving them the strength? And that's where we are here, my dear brothers and sisters. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. All their fear, all their misery, everything is over. Now they are confident. Now they are fearless in proclaiming the gospel to the world. So as we are here to prepare ourselves for the day of Pentecost, for the outpouring of the Spirit. So my dear brothers and sisters, here are some of the things that we need to take care of. Here are some of the things that we need to focus as we prepare ourselves. And the first thing that we need to focus is total submission to Christ. Yes, we need to submit ourselves completely to Christ. We know before the ascension, Jesus told his disciples that he will be sending the promise by the Father. He'll send the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. But before that, they would go to Jerusalem and wait. And we know Jerusalem was not a proper place for the apostles or the disciples. Jerusalem had killed the prophets. It did not even spare the Messiah, the author of life. It took away the life of Jesus himself, the author of life. And Jesus is asking the disciples, the apostles, to stay in Jerusalem. So we can imagine what will be the future of the disciples or the apostles. Their future was not safe. They can face probably persecutions. They may have to face the trials, difficulties, because they have to stand before the authorities whom they are frightened of. Yet, the disciples, the apostles remained in Jerusalem. They surrendered completely themselves to the Lord. So first thing that we need to focus is that we need to surrender to the Lord. Come whatever may, whatever difficulties or problems that we may have to face. But we need to focus that we need to surrender to the Lord. We need to submit ourselves completely to the Lord. And the second one that we need to focus is the spiritual unity. Yes, we all of us are at this moment united in prayer. And that's what exactly what we are called to. the spiritual union. In the upper room, there were 120 of them, the apostles, disciples, believers, including the women, along with Mother Mary. They were all of them in the upper room. And the word of God says, these people were of one accord. And what this one accord would mean? They were of one mind, one will, one feeling, one plan, one purpose, and one in prayer. So to say, they lived like brothers and sisters. They were there to support one another. They were there for each and everything by the side of one another. They were united in prayer. They were united in the Lord. And we also need to be aware that when we are united in one in the Lord, we may also face oppositions, because when we are one with the Lord, so-called the devil, we call it satanic powers, oppositions, persecutions will come on our way. And it will try to break us away from the Lord. But only way that we can survive is we stand united, we pray for each other, we stand with one another, supporting, praying for each other. And Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not open. Yes, when we are one, the evil cannot overpower us. We need to believe that. I'd like to give an example. Probably some of you might have heard when once I had spoken, probably in this place itself, when I was preaching one day, the example of a bamboo tree. I do not know how many of you have seen the bamboo tree. When you plant a bamboo tree, it takes around 3 to 4 years to 5 years for the first shoots to come out. And when it comes out, it does not take another 2 or 3 years to grow. It just takes around 80 to 90 days to grow to the heights of 30 to 60, 70 feet high. And at the same time, if you have seen these bamboo plants, though they grow tall, they're quite flexible. And at the same time, their branches, they entangle with one another. They remain united. So whenever there is wind, whenever there is storm, they're always united. And they are quite flexible that they can bend up to 70, 80 degrees. There is no chance for them to fall. They hold one another. They remain united. And today is the time to ask, my dear brothers and sisters, are we united in our own family? Are we united in our own marriage? Do we experience unity? If not, what is hindering us from experiencing the oneness, the unity that we need to experience? In our church here, sometimes we experience so much of, say, oppositions. This is where we need to come to the Lord with one heart, with one mind. We need to completely surrender and be always united with one another. As Paul says about his own church, he writes in Corinthians about the church of Corinth. He says, one of you says, I follow Paul. Another says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. Another says, I follow Christ. Yes, where there is division, we can experience confusion. So the second point that we need to focus as we prepare for the day of Pentecost, my dear brothers and sisters, is spiritual unity. We need to be united with one another, with one heart, with one mind in the Lord. And the third thing that we need to pay attention, especially as we prepare for the day of Pentecost, is prayer. Yes. As I said, 120 of them in the upper room, they were there. And the Lord had told them to wait in the in Jerusalem. He did not tell them to spend time in prayer. But these apostles, these believers, all were there. They spent that particular time in prayer. All of them, with one accord, with one mind, and with one heart, they prayed. Yes, prayer always leads us to experience God within us and to experience the closeness of God. That's where the apostles, at this moment, they're not thinking of anything. We know how the apostles had run away from the Lord. But at this moment, all of them have come together. They are united in prayer. And we know about Mary. She was there by the side of the apostles, by the side of the believers, and she's encouraging them because she already has experienced the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and she is there to guide them. And the apostles are no longer asking who is the greatest or who would sit on the left and right in the heavenly kingdom. They are no longer quarreling, but at this moment they are in love with the Lord. They have committed, they have come back to the Lord, and they are waiting to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're waiting to receive the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And in this process, only prayer can help us, my dear brothers and sisters, to come closer to the Lord, to experience oneness with the Lord. And as we prepare ourselves to receive the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Spirit, it's a time that we need to spend more and more time in prayer, connecting to the Lord. And when we spend time in prayer, it's not only that we are connecting to the Lord, we are connecting with ourselves. We know who we are, what we are, what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses that we have, and what are the graces, what are the blessings that we need. Yes, it's during the time of prayer we come to realize. And it's the time of prayer that will help us also to connect with one another, with the community where we live. And when we are able to connect with one another, it will be quite easy for us to connect to the Lord. We create a three-dimensional relationship. Relationship with myself, relationship with my brethren, and relationship with the Lord. And my dear brothers and sisters, the fourth thing that we also need to focus is the scripture study. Yes, on this point, we may not find much with regards to the day of Pentecost. But the scripture study will help us to understand the God's word and how we need to live our day-to-day life. Bible does not tell much about how the apostles spent their time in scripture study. But we know that they were quite thorough with the scriptures. And when Jesus was walking with the disciples to Emmaus, he chided them for their disbelief. But at the same time, he opened the scriptures. He opened their minds and heart to understand the scriptures. And whenever he visited, whenever he appeared to the disciples, to the apostles, as he said, "Peace be with you." And he opened their minds and hearts so that they can understand the scriptures. And everything that has happened according to the scriptures, which means Jesus was helping these apostles, these disciples, to understand the scriptures. And when we understand the scriptures, when we study the scriptures, it will help us, my dear brothers and sisters, to deepen our faith, to deepen our commitment. And when we speak to others, we can speak with boldness, with courage, with conviction that we know the scriptures. We know God's word and what the Lord wants each and every one of us to know. And the fifth point that we need to focus, my dear brothers and sisters, is spiritual leadership. Yes, spiritual leadership. Anyone can be a leader. But for being a spiritual leader, one needs to have God's experience. These apostles, when they were in the upper room, though they had lived with the Lord, at this moment, they were quite lost. So it was Mary who had experienced when she received from the Lord that she was to be the mother of our Lord Jesus. And she bore the Son. It was through the power of the Holy Spirit. So to say, the Holy Spirit was always with her and she had experienced the Holy Spirit. So she knew how to go about. And she was leading these apostles, these disciples in the upper room. She was leading them. She was guiding them. She was preparing them for the outpouring of the Spirit. A spiritual leader can be a priest, can be a nun, can be any lay person. It can be a child who has experienced God, who has a close connection with God. And it can be you and me, my dear brothers and sisters. When we experience God within us, when we experience God, it is also our duty, it is our responsibility to bring others closer to God, to prepare them to experience God. And this is where I would like to appreciate Jesus, the real vine. Because they have experienced God, they are bringing others, they are calling others. This is where we can experience God. Come closer to God. It is not that everyone has God experience. When we come, when we prepare ourselves, when we cleanse ourselves from all the negativity, from all that is hindering us from experiencing God, when we come closer and closer to the people of God, we experience the Lord. So my dear brothers and sisters, it's a time we need to once again to focus our minds, our hearts, and come closer to the Lord. And we are just 3 days away from the day of Pentecost. It's a beautiful time. Many of us are doing novena. Many of us will be participating also in Triduum, preparing ourselves for this great feast. But at the same time, my dear brothers and sisters, we also need personally to spend time in prayer, submitting ourselves to Christ. At the same time, studying the scriptures, understanding them, and cleansing ourselves. So today, as we are here, my dear brothers and sisters, let us thank the Lord for this beautiful day and for this beautiful time that he has brought us together. And as we prepare ourselves for this great feast, let us ask the Lord to be with us. First of all, as I said, the first thing that we need to do is submit ourselves completely to Christ. Give ourselves our mind, our thoughts, our body to the Lord. And let us be with one another, spiritually united. Let us be with one another in prayer so that we can always experience the presence of the Lord with us. So once again, I would like to ask each and every one of you to close your eyes. And experience the presence of the Lord with us. Especially during this time of pandemic, sometimes you might have felt that the Lord has gone away from us. He's not listening to our prayers. We are going through so much of difficulties, so much of struggles. Where is the Lord? My dear brothers and sisters, the Lord has never gone away from us. He is always there by our side. He is always there with us. But because of the struggles, because of the difficulties that we face, we fail to realize his presence with us. Let us once again submit ourselves, asking the Lord to take control of our life. And when the Lord takes control of our life, he knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. He will guide us. He will give us all that we need. Let us also ask Mary, our mother, to be always with us, to be by our side, accompanying us, especially when we face the difficulties, the struggles, the ups and downs in life, where we are on the crossroads, not knowing what to do, where to go. May Mary, our mother, lift us up and take us all to her son, Jesus. May she always intercede for us. And we also ask the Holy Spirit to come down on us, to fill us with his grace, with his gifts and fruits. May he enlighten us. May he open our minds and hearts, that we may be able to understand who we are, what we are, what are the gifts and talents that we have received, and how we can use them for the greater glory of God and for the greater good of the humanity. O Lord Jesus, we surrender our very lives to you. We surrender to you our minds and hearts, all our struggles, all our difficulties, all that we are going through. You are the healer. You are the mighty Lord. You are the giver of our life. You know what is best for us. Take control of our life and do everything that is best for us. Bless all of us gathered here. Bless all our family members, all our near and dear ones. Bless all those who are in need of our prayers. Amen.